This is the third in a series of sermons on the biblical doctrine of the Sabbath. My goal this evening is to show you the continuation and the clarification of the creation Sabbath in the Mosaic Covenant. So let me say that again. My goal this evening is to show you the continuation and the clarification of the creation Sabbath in the Mosaic Covenant. And next time I want to show you what I'm going to call the customization of the creation Sabbath for Israel. There are some things in Israel's Sabbath that are unique to them, and we need to recognize that because the New Testament recognizes that. All right? We have learned that God's ordination of the Sabbath in the creation week was a mandate for Adam and all of his descendants for all time and in every place. It was a pattern of one day of rest and worship after 6 days of work. The Lord instituted this by his own practice in creating the world and in blessing the day by setting it apart as holy. Sin impacted the Sabbath, but like every other creation ordinance, it did not destroy it or annul it. We even looked at some examples of it being practiced before the establishment of the Mosaic Covenant and the giving of the Ten Commandments to Israel at Sinai. Now that background, or refresher, brings us to our first point. It's this. The Mosaic Sabbath is a continuation of the creation Sabbath. Often, people take the Jewish Sabbath, as they call it, as a unique thing just for Israel. But the Bible teaches that the Mosaic Sabbath is a continuation of the creation Sabbath. Now, it's more than that, and we'll talk about that in the rest of the time and in some weeks ahead. But understand, it is a continuation. We should expect that if we find a Sabbath rule for Israel, it will be a continuation of the original, pervasive, perpetual creation Sabbath. Of course, the Sabbath concept is prominent in Israel's law and life. And the scriptures show that the Jewish Sabbath is even founded on the creation Sabbath. In fact, Israel's Sabbath is organically connected to the creation Sabbath. That means it grew out of it as the original. Let me say again what I've said many times. The Sabbath is not a distinctly Jewish idea or practice. The main text to prove this is, of course, the fourth commandment, Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Let me read that to you. Listen, please. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner, the foreigner, the non-Jew, who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Verse 8 is the fourth commandment in a proper sense. And it begins with a call to remember the Sabbath. That means to not forget it in the future and to practice it. But it also indicates that the Mosaic Sabbath was a past revelation of the Sabbath. That's confirmed in verse 11, where the reason for keeping the Mosaic Sabbath is given. The reason is that God made the heavens and earth in 6 days and rested and blessed it and made it holy. That's why there's a Jewish Sabbath. Because at creation, God did certain things. So Israel is to practice Sabbath keeping by imitating God's creation Sabbath keeping. The Israelites are image bearers called to act like their creator. The law found in this fourth commandment is not new. It is as old as creation. And this weekly Mosaic Sabbath is clearly a continuation, or perhaps we could say an application, of the creation Sabbath customized for Israel. Both of these Sabbaths follow the same ratio of labor and rest, 6 plus 1. There are 6 days of commanded labor because God labored this long at creation. There's 1 day of holy rest because God rested for this long on the 7th day of creation. In both cases, the 7th day is appointed as the day of rest. This is not a coincidence. This is the continuation of the creation Sabbath in Israel. And that's our first point. It brings us to our second point. The Mosaic Sabbath is a clarification of the creation Sabbath. It is a continuation, but it's a clarification of it. From our study a few weeks ago of examples of Sabbath keeping between creation and Sinai, we learned one thing, at least, that more revelation about the Sabbath would be helpful. Yes, we have God's example. Yes, we have God's blessing. Yes, the Sabbath is found in seed form. But a clear command with an explanation and a reason, that would be helpful. For those who want to obey God by bearing His likeness in Sabbath keeping, more revelation would be clarifying. And that is precisely what God did for men in the fourth commandment. The Mosaic covenant is obviously full of laws. So much so that sometimes the entire covenant is referred to as the law. One of the benefits of all of this written legislation is that it makes man's duty plain with a specificity that is greater than just a single example. So in Exodus 20 and in Deuteronomy 5, where the Ten Commandments are repeated, the duty to keep the Sabbath day holy is clearly stated. One says, remember the Sabbath day. And the other says to observe or keep the day. One of the benefits is this specificity. So in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, the duty to keep the Sabbath day is clearly stated. The command itself is obvious, but the Lord also helpfully includes some details on how the day is supposed to be spent, who is to keep it, and the reasons behind it. The fourth commandment is not just a bare command. It has a plain statement of the duty, but it also has all of this explanation. And these are even tailored to Israel's cultural situation to some degree. This law is repeated and applied in numerous places throughout the Old Testament. So having this duty in the form of a written commandment is clarifying. For those of you who struggle with, well, do I really have to do this on the basis of an example? Well, the answer is yes when it's God's, but God condescends to help our weakness by giving us, all right, here's the commandment. Here's your plain duty. So that's one way in which the fourth commandment is clarifying. One of the ways in which the Mosaic Sabbath is clarifying of the creation Sabbath. But another way in which the fourth commandment is clarifying is that it shows that the creation Sabbath is made up of natural and positive law. By natural law, I mean laws rooted in the nature of God and the nature of His creation, which therefore are necessary and eternal. These laws could not have been different for two reasons. First, because God's holiness is unchanging, and second, because He chose to make the world according to a certain order. Could He have chosen differently? Well, not about His own character, no. But about how He made the world? Presumably, yes. God was free to do it another way. But He made it this way. He did it this way. And that very nature can't ever be undone. So natural laws, laws that are inherently moral, are native to the world. They're native to man's constitution. And natural law, sometimes called moral law, but natural law is frankly a better term. Natural law contrasts with positive laws. These are laws that have to be overtly revealed to men or we would never know about them. That's because they're free choices by God and they're given for a temporary period. Right. Now, the creation Sabbath is both natural law and it's positive law. I'm not making up anything new. Listen to the beginning of chapter 22, paragraph 7 of our Baptist Confession of Faith, which I don't quote often enough. As it is of the law of nature that in general a proportion of time by God's appointment be set aside for the worship of God, right? So by His word, in a positive, moral, and perpetual commandment, binding all men in all ages, He has appointed one day in seven for a Sabbath to be kept holy unto Him. Interesting. Now, I believe that to be an excellent summary of the Bible's teaching. Do you see the difference or the distinction here between natural laws, the law of nature? What's the law of nature? Well, the time should be set aside to worship God.
Yes, right.
The very nature of who God is, the very nature of who we are means time has to be set aside to worship Him. Might be a little bit, might be a lot. It might be frequent, it might be infrequent. It might be one whole day every seven. It might be four, five, six times of prayer at different times during a single day. It might be once a year. It might be at Easter and Christmas. God could have done anything He wanted in that regard. And so He had to tell us. He had to positively state what His will was. And the Sabbath is a commandment that contains both natural elements and positive elements. Things that can never change because of the very nature of who God is and who we are and the way He made the world. And things that can change because they were free choices of God and they're revealed to us. I hope you know where that's going. Hope you can figure out where that's going in the new covenant. Yeah, that's exactly where this is going. But we're not making this up so we can explain that. We're trying to show how from the very beginning things have been this way. That there are elements that are unchangeable because they're rooted in who God is and who we are as His image bearers. And there are some things that can change. Oh, they're the law of God and it's a sin to disobey it. But they're temporary. And God can change it. And we have lots of those things in our lives, actually. The Sabbath law is natural in that by the very nature of who God is, he ought to receive worship. It ought to be done in dedicated time that God would appoint, and it ought to be done by all men. It ought to be done corporately. And it's also natural for men in the sense that they are to imitate God as made in his likeness. They need rest as finite, dependent persons. And they ought to worship their Creator who gave them life with some amount of focused attention. There ought to be a set aside time. If it is wrong for you men to be looking at your phones while your wife is talking to you, surely not focusing on God, not giving him your full attention in worship is an evil. But God needs to tell men for how long and how frequently this rest and worship should take place. So the natural law of the Sabbath needs positive laws for its proper implementation. Amen. Otherwise, men will decide, yeah, we'll do one day in seven, but it'll be Saturday, or it'll be Friday, or it will be something else. So corporate rest and the worship of God, those are natural laws. Setting aside one day in seven, that's a positive law. Now, sometimes we use the word ceremonial. That's not really appropriate here. It's not the best word. But there is some correspondence there. Maybe that's helpful to you if positive and natural are fairly new to you. But it's okay as a Christian to learn new words, new terms, new definitions, and to grow. Really, it's okay. And I would urge you to begin thinking about law in the scriptures that way. So when someone comes to you and says, well, you know, Christians must circumcise their children because that was God's law, and his law never changes. Well, his natural laws never change. But his positive laws, absolutely they change. Abraham didn't sin by not being baptized, because that's a positive law under a different covenant. You don't sin if you don't get your kids circumcised. You may choose to do that for medical or other health reasons or perceived reasons, but for religious reasons, no, you don't need to do that. Because that positive law, that revealed for a time, for a specific purpose law, it is no more. It's been fulfilled. It's taken care of. It's done. It's gone. It's abrogated. Many laws are that way. But of course, there are laws that can never be abrogated. Because they are rooted in who God is. And until the day comes when he changes, they can't change. Right? So natural laws and positive laws. And again, I believe that is a summary of how we're to understand the Bible from a study of the Bible. God provided all of these elements, these natural elements and these positive elements, in the institution of the Sabbath at creation by his example. He gave us everything that we needed to know. Adam could actually obey God. He knew what to do. But in the Mosaic Sabbath laws, these things are specified in writing. There are examples. There are explanations. There are motives. There are threats. So the fourth commandment, the Mosaic Sabbath, is clarifying compared to the creation Sabbath. And the fact that the Sabbath law is the fourth commandment of the ten also, I hope, teaches you of its native morality, that it is natural law or moral law. The Ten Commandments are all natural because they rest in God's nature and the nature of the world. So they're permanent and they apply to all men. Now, they may apply to men differently at different times. Yes. But they apply to all men at all times. There are good reasons to think that the Ten Commandments are distinct from the other temporary, positive laws given to Israel. Those ten alone were audibly spoken by God. Not only do the Exodus and Deuteronomy passages state this, but in Deuteronomy it even goes so far as to say that God added no more. Well, wait a minute. There were more regulations to follow, hundreds of them, given to Moses. Yes, given through Moses, and Exodus 24 says, and Moses wrote them down. They alone were heard from the mouth of God. They alone were written in stone. That should display to you their permanent nature and their importance. This contrasts with the statutes that Moses wrote down. It was these Ten Commandments that were accompanied with an awesome display of God's power on the mountain. And later scripture repeatedly reminds us of this, noting the solemnity with which those words were given. Only these Ten Commandments were placed in the ark. The other laws were placed beside the ark. So central in God's revelation of law to Israel are the Ten Commandments that at times they are even called the covenant. So they're the heart of it. They're the heart of the matter. So when you read questions in catechisms and in other things, you know, what is the moral law or reference to the moral law, you don't need to kind of cringe or shake when someone says, oh, that's the Ten Commandments. Yes, that is what it is. Are there other ways of stating it? Yes. But the Ten Commandments are moral law. They are natural law. They're unchanging, God-rooted, creation-rooted law. So all of these circumstances surrounding the giving of the Ten Commandments, and that includes this fourth commandment, teach us that they are rooted in the nature of God and His creation. And all of this means, this is my summary statement, and all of this means that the Mosaic Sabbath is not just a continuation, but a clarification of the creation Sabbath. Think of it this way. The seedling has become a sapling. It's not a tree in fruit, full bloom yet. It's not a mighty oak shadowing over the land. But the seedling doctrine of the Sabbath has become a sapling. Three uses, and these are just three things that I believe you should know or learn from this time of rather didactic teaching this evening. I hope you had enough application this morning. First, see the organic connection between the creation Sabbath and the Jewish Sabbath. The latter grew out of the former. They're not two different things. They're not unrelated to one another. Amen. One is the blossoming of the first. Right. Secondly, understand that the fourth commandment is natural or moral and therefore unchanging. We are made in space and time. We will always be captive to space and time. Therefore, there must be a time when we worship God as His creatures. Well, when will that be? God will have to tell us. How often should I do that so that I can have a clear conscience? 5 hours a day. God could have chosen that. What He's done is graciously said, I give you 6 days to take care of your business, and I'll take a day where you worship me, where you rest your body, and where I receive your attention. That's natural and positive, and that's our third use. Understand the fourth commandment is also positive. There are aspects of it that are changeable. So it's natural or moral, and therefore unchangeable in certain elements, and it's positive and therefore changeable in other of its elements. And so we shouldn't be surprised when we read the continuing history of Israel to see that there aren't just weekly Sabbaths. There will be other Sabbaths that God institutes.
Right.
And we shouldn't be surprised that when Jesus appears, he continues the Sabbath principle. Even as Lord of the Sabbath, he exercises his right to change the day of the Sabbath. Because as a positive commandment, he's allowed to do that.
Yes.
Well, Pastor, that would take a new creation to change the day. Right, it would. It would. That would take something like the resurrection from the dead on a certain day of the week. That's what that would take. Yes, it would. I hope in that second hymn that we sang, you were paying enough attention. I know when you're learning a new song, it can be challenging, but I hope you realize that it was listing for you a few of the important days, first days. First day of the creation of light, Christ's resurrection from the dead, the Holy Spirit being poured out in Pentecost, that was the first day of the week. And all of that, as we'll see, Lord willing, in some weeks ahead, we'll see that that's not coincidence. That's God setting a new pattern for us that we are to follow. Obey God's commands. Do what he says. Praise God for the law that makes some of those crystal clear. But praise God for his examples, because we're to follow those as well.